Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, help us to see that what you ordain is always good. The cup we are drinking, which savors now of bitterness, help us take without shrinking. For after grief you give relief, our hearts with comfort fill, and all our sorrows still. Amen. Now, if you are thinking about a situation, which I'm pretty sure we would call an emergency, surely a 12-year-old girl lying on her deathbed would have to be towards the very top, right? That is the kind of thing that makes you cringe even to think about it. And yet in our reading today, Jesus does not hurry. He does not run. And in fact, as you heard, he even stops to take care of other business that we would say, certainly, is less pressing. And it's not just that Jesus heals a woman in passing. That happened with him not even knowing all of the details. No, what Jesus stops is so that he can get the details. A 12-year-old girl is at the point of death. Jesus is walking amidst a crowd, and Jesus wants to know exactly, who touched me? Now, the disciples seem to be on our side. They think with us that Jesus, that is not what is important right now. And you see that Jesus wants to know who touched him, not because it was wrong for them to do so or anything like that. No, apparently he does so just so he can say to her, "Daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." I think we would look at that and we say, well, that is very nice. That is very comforting of Jesus to do that. But what about the dying girl? Doesn't Jesus recognize the emergency of the situation in the same way that everyone else does, the disciples do, that Jairus certainly does, that his servants certainly do, that we, as we read the story today, think? And it appears for Jesus the answer is no. And this is not a one-off either. You got the same vibe from last week's reading as the disciples cry out, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" You definitely get this vibe later on when Lazarus dies and Jesus hears news that he is ill and he waits for days. Now, what's going on? We all recognize when there are times where the situation is dire and that at those times, some things take priority over other things going on at the same time. Life and death is at the top of that list. If someone is dying, everything else pales in comparison. Everything else gets put on hold. We deal with the critical case first. Call 911, start CPR. Check and see, is there a doctor? Is there a nurse around? And whatever else is going on at the time, even if it's a wedding, even if it's something where there are thousands of people in attendance, all of that becomes secondary. Because, we say, someone's life is on the line. And there's nothing more serious than that. And yet, Jesus seems to differ with that opinion. You see in the scriptures that Jesus obviously does not place the same import on life and death situations that we do. Last week, when the boat in the storm is taking on water, what is perhaps most amusing about the situation, a situation where the disciples are certain that they are going to drown and perish, what was amusing is the fact that it's almost as if Jesus quiets the storm just so he can rebuke the disciples for their lack of faith, as shown by the fact that they woke him from his nap. "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" To us, The reason they are afraid is obvious. They feel that death is imminent. They know that they are goners. And that has to take priority. And yet you see that Jesus upbraids them for their lack of faith in him, as if that, above all things, is what really mattered most at all times, not their bodily safety. Likewise, today, Jesus stops to inquire about the one who touched him, and as he does so, the girl dies. And messengers come and relay this fact to Jairus, but Jesus' answer is not, "Oh, sorry about that, let's get going." No, his answer is, "Do not fear, only believe." Again, with a faith thing. And so, what is going on here? As I said before, clearly Jesus prioritizes things differently than we do. And just as it bothered the disciples last week, it probably bothers us too. But our bodily safety is not at the top of Jesus' list. Sorry. The scriptures are clear on this. Last week, the Old Testament reading was from the book of Job. And if you know anything about that, you know that the book is about a man who loses not only his property, not only the lives of his children, but is himself stricken with sores from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. Today's Old Testament reading is from a book called Lamentations. It is a book of laments, and it is called that because God brought the Babylonians to conquer Jerusalem, to fight against them, and to exile the people who were left to another land. And as you read through it in the book of Jeremiah, for instance, you know that it is not a pretty sight. Right? This is what the scriptures say. I know this also lines up with what you have experienced in your own lives as well. You know that Christians have undergone sickness. You know that Christians have undergone pain. You know that Christians have died. And so you have to know that the bodily health of each and every one of us is not the main thing that God is concerned about, or else he fails over and over and over again. Now, what you see Jesus, as well as the rest of the scriptures, place their utmost importance upon in any situation is faith in the true God. The one who, as Lamentation says, if he causes grief, will yet have compassion. And we see that the God of the scriptures is one who works not chiefly by handing out prescription medications, not by getting us to avoid any pain or any grief in life. Now you see that the true God works chiefly by killing and making alive. Right? Isn't that what you see? That he is the God who sent his son to die and rise for us. He is the God who raises the dead. Right? That is on evidence in our gospel reading tonight. And it is also apparent in our own lives as well, that we who were dead spiritually in our sins and trespasses, God has made us alive together with Christ Jesus, the one who died and rose again. This may be our main problem with the way that the scriptures portray the true God, is that he works this way. He works by killing and making alive. We're not keen on that. But the book of Lamentations tells us it is good to wait for the salvation of the Lord. And we need saved because things are not going so well on our own. But on top of that, we are also short-sighted in how we tend to place finite limits on what God has done or what he is able to do in our own lives as well. Right? He gives us things like time and money. He gives us things like life. He gives us other blessings as well. And we want to hoard those. We want to hold on to them fiercely because we think if we let go of it, it will all be lost. So we think that if we give some of it away, it will be gone. We think of these things as win-lose, right? If we give it away, we lose. And after all, we will tell ourselves money doesn't grow on trees, right? We will not live forever. We don't have enough time, et cetera, et cetera. Jesus does not act that way. We hear about Jairus' daughter on our deathbed, and we think immediately, there is no time. Jesus, you have to get there now. But Jesus stops on the way to care for someone that he will call his daughter. He doesn't worry about the time. He doesn't worry about the amount of life that we think the girl has, because he makes more, right? Not enough time, he is eternal. Not enough life, he is the creator of all life. He is a God who is able to multiply even when there is little or nothing at hand. We'll hear more about that in a few weeks with the feeding of the 5,000. But in all of these situations, Jesus tells the people around him, he tells us too, do not fear, only believe. You may die, but you will never perish. And you know that the day will come when he calls all of us who fall asleep in the sleep of death. He will say, you, it's time to get up now. You know that he has done it before. You know that you just heard it in today's reading. And so you also can confess, like Job, I know that my Redeemer lives. And at the last, he will stand on the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh, I shall see God. And you can confess with John, one of those who is in the boat, that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him, whoever trusts him, whoever has faith in him, will not perish, but has eternal life. This is the way our God works. And he is a God who leads from the front, right? Jesus died and rose again. And though we will die, he will raise us. Amen.